Welcome to the monthly Three Edge View from the Edge for September 2026. I'm Fritz Foltz, the Chief Investment Strategist here at Three Edge, and joining me here today, as he does every month, is Eric Beagleisen, the Director of Investment Research and our Deputy Chief Investment Officer here at Three Edge Asset Management. And today, Eric and I are going to provide our most recent outlook for the global capital markets based on our proprietary model. And we have a lot to cover here, so let's get started. So, Eric, I think that after this week, you can safely say that the more peaceful days of summer may be officially over. It feels as though we're sort of experiencing everything all at once in the economy and the market. So I'll turn it over to you. Just, you know, bring us up to speed on our outlook and maybe starting with our asset class matrix.
Great. Thanks. Yeah, we saw some nice rises in many equity asset class in particular in August. But as you've said, the global market volatility does continue. You can see here in the asset class matrix, not a lot of the boxes here have shifted too much. We've already been on somewhat of a cautious stance across many of the asset classes. I do want to note that U.S. equities, which had been slightly positive, we moved down even into the neutral or mixed camp here. And I'm sure we'll dive into the details as we move forward.
Excellent. So without further ado, let's do that. We'll get into detail on the various asset class that we model. And let's begin with U.S. equities. And what are we seeing there?
Yeah, well, like we just noted, we have a mixed outlook now for U.S. equities. You know, while oil and commodity prices have moved higher here, crossing the $100 per barrel for both Brent and WTI, you know, that's definitely adding to inflationary pressures. U.S. equities have seemingly just kind of shrugged this risk off, and they've really muddled through so far, actually rose 3% in August. And as you can see here, the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve, the SPR, it's dwindled down to 1982 levels, which is also causing concern regarding how much longer the Strait of Hormuz remains blocked by Iran and the U.S. So that's another concern and certainly a risk as we look to inflationary pressures. You know, we continue to observe excessive overvaluation in U.S. large cap equities. We've talked about that for many months now, but they continue to deliver strong, you know, earnings growth and a solid outlook in this environment of positive investor psychology and well-behaved credit spreads. So that is a positive in the camp. You know, take a look at this chart here from Deutsche Bank Research. You can see 90 years of S&P 500 quarterly earnings per share, generally staying within that log trend line, you know, with the exception of a few events like the present where they've gone up and outside. And so you have to ask yourself, is this the sign of a bubble or is it really truly a unique breakout? I guess time will tell ultimately. Also interesting are the earnings revisions. Here's a chart from Citigroup showing 21 consecutive weeks positive earnings revisions. That's the longest streak we've seen in 5 years. So again, something, you know, is it time for things to turn or is that just a signal of more of this exuberance to come? You know, all of that said, the S&P 500 did reach an all-time high in August. However, the NASDAQ 100, which is more tied specifically to technology companies, has yet to break through its early June peak. So signs of market froth and potential profit taking are starting to show up. And so a market top may be approaching, or quite frankly, it may have already arrived. So taken together, it's a bit more of a mixed outlook.
Great. All right. Great. Thank you. So now we'll switch gears, head over to Asia and to Japanese equities, which have had really strong year-to-date performance, outperforming both the S&P and the NASDAQ thus far in 2026. So what is the model telling us now in terms of the outlook for Japanese equities?
Yeah, well, we continue to remain constructive on the outlook for Japanese equities. You know, economic and wage growth have exceeded expectations. And quite frankly, Japanese equities are more reasonably valued relative to the U.S. You know, we've noted this for some time as well. You know, rising oil prices are a particularly large headwind to the Japanese economy because of their dependence on Middle East energy imports. You know, investor sentiment and market momentum remain positive, though. Japan's yield curve measure that we calculate for the region, that does continue to steepen, and that is indicative of potential growth ahead. So those are all positives. You know, additionally, and you can see this here, foreigners continue to invest in Japanese stocks on par with the most that they ever have in the last 20 years. So that's just another, chit in the positive column. Japan's central bank, the Bank of Japan, has engaged in currency intervention to stem the continued weakening of their currency, while alongside also signaling the potential for a rate hike, which has also helped to stabilize the yen. So these are all things that we're watching. But we do have to watch, rising interest rates in Japan along with the strengthening yen, because this could also cause an unwinding of the so-called yen carry trade, where investors have shorted the yen to buy U.S. stocks and bonds and other risk assets and may incur losses and may be inclined to close out these positions, causing those risk asset sales as well as further yen appreciation. So this is a risk we've noted for some time, and so something we continue to watch closely. But altogether, outlook remains unchanged, remains positive.
So just to be clear, the yen carry trade, people are shorting the yen, meaning they're collecting the premium, right? They're actually taking in money, and then they're investing that in the same seven companies in the United States that everybody else is. So just that's the way that works. So let's just shift now to the bond market and the U.S. Treasury market, where, the backup in yields at the longer end is causing quite a stir. So what is the model telling us in there?
Yeah, well, the Fed remains in a difficult position with regard to its dual mandate of full employment and price stability. We've noted this for some time. The re-escalation of this U.S.-Iran conflict, it calls into question whether inflation may subside on its own, which I think maybe had been the prevailing narrative, because we now have seen this recent spike in oil prices to over $100 per barrel. We're also seeing less agreement within the Fed alongside this new minimalist approach of Fed Chair Warsh in terms of his communication. And that leaves market participants unsure, really, of what to expect at the next FOMC meeting here in mid-September, though futures markets are pricing in a rate hike of around 80% chance at this point as of this morning. With the 10-year yield approaching 5%, servicing the interest burden on the U.S.'s $40 trillion of debt will become even costlier, right? Though it's a good reminder that a 10-year at 5% is back to where it was briefly back just in October of 2023. So not that long ago. You can see that here. Nonetheless, the debt situation has grown much worse. So servicing that debt at these rates now is actually substantively more expensive. So as we've said for some time, taking this all together, we continue to favor short-term, high-quality issues.
All right, excellent. So turning our attention now to real assets, that would include gold and commodities, beginning with gold. What is the outlook in terms of the model looking at gold at this point?
Yeah, so we maintain this longer-term favorable outlook for gold. We've said this for quite some time. This is based upon the belief that real or inflation-adjusted treasury yields have likely peaked and are more likely to trade sideways or decline. Interestingly, the inverse relationship between gold and real rates has recently broken down, with gold increasing in value alongside a rise in real rates, as shown here. Typically, that's not the case. Typically, as real rates rise, investors prefer paper currency to hard assets. So gold, in spite of that headwind, has continued to perform somewhat well. But you've also seen central bank buying from around the globe, supporting gold over U.S. dollar-based asset purchases, which may be responsible for overcoming this hurdle more recently. Even more interesting, you can see here as well, is Tether, the stablecoin, also a very large buyer of gold too. So there's a lot of gold buying out there. And as I mentioned already, the accelerating U.S. debt, the rising interest burden to service this debt, and the steps the Treasury and the Fed may take to inflate our way out of this debt burden, that all continues to be supportive of a weakening dollar. And that should bode well for gold prices. Should the Federal Reserve pause on interest rates at their meeting next week rather than hike, gold may actually perform quite well.
Excellent. All right. And then lastly, we'll take a look at commodities. Obviously, they have benefited from the outbreak of the hostilities between the U.S. and Iran and the Strait of Hormuz, which you had mentioned earlier. And, some of these commodity ETFs are up like over 30% this year. So they have done quite well. But what is the outlook now for commodities?
Yeah, commodities play a role as a hedge against inflation, geopolitical risk, and currency debasement over the long term. Very similar to gold, quite frankly. The recent shift from a D to a re-escalation between the U.S. and Iran has led to oil prices spiking, as we've noted. So, and as many other commodities as well. And so not shockingly, you know, this is going to lead to a bit more volatility here in the near term, you know, creating that, you know, continued mixed outlook that we have in the space.
Excellent. Great. Eric, that's a super summary of our outlook. Appreciate that. Just to summarize the asset class matrix, the only change that we've made in September from August was moving U.S. equities from a positive one to a mix. It's not a negative outline, but it's a mixed view on U.S. equity market. That's the only change there. And I just leave our listeners with the following. I mean, the current environment, I mean, there it presents a wide range of potential disparate events and outcomes which could impact the market in the months ahead. And therefore, here at 3EDGE, the investment committee, which Eric and I are members of, we remain poised to make further changes should developments affect our outlook for the markets in the future. So that will do it for Eric and me for this month's edition of the 3EDGE View from the Edge. If you'd like a hard copy of the full View from the Edge newsletter, you can find that on our website at 3edgeam.com. And also, just a reminder, our entire library of videos is always available on our 3EDGE YouTube channel. And if you would be so kind as to subscribe to our 3EDGE channel, we would be most appreciative. So, on behalf of Eric and everyone here at 3EDGE, thanks for listening. This commentary is intended for information purposes only and does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy securities. The opinions expressed in View from the Edge are those of Mr. Foltz and Mr. Beagleisen and are subject to change without notice in reaction to shifting market conditions. This commentary is not intended to provide personal investment advice and does not take into account the unique investment objectives and financial situation of the listener. Investors should only seek investment advice from their financial advisor. The observations include information from sources that 3EDGE believes to be reliable, but the accuracy of such information cannot be guaranteed. Investments, including common stocks, fixed income, commodities, and ETFs, all involve a risk of loss that investors should be prepared to bear.